The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
What a great morning. Resurrection Sunday.
Yes, hallelujah.
Amen. Celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. No. Most of the time we call it Easter. I try my best to refrain from that term because it really connects it to pagan worship, the worship of Ashtar, goddess of fertility, which it was called by many other names throughout history. But one of the things that we recognize is that we have traditions that surround our holidays. And some of the traditions that we have are Easter bunnies, coloring eggs, you know, those kind of things that are tradition. And those things actually are rooted in paganism. Ashtar turned into a rabbit and laid eggs. Those pagans would sacrifice their children and dip their eggs in their blood to color them. Crazy stuff, isn't it? Think about it. And yet, that's the background. Now, let me tell you something. I'm not trying to tell you that you're going to go to hell if you color an egg, you have your children hunt an egg, or you eat a chocolate Easter bunny. I want you to know where these things come from. And if God lays it on your heart that you shouldn't be in doing any of that stuff, that's between you and God. But I want you to know the background. I want you to know where we come from. Because there are a lot of good traditions that we have, and we're trying our best to establish some really good traditions. Seder, having that, you know, recognizing the Passover and how the Passover meal that the Jewish people participate in ties in to the resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how this week actually is just a leading up. The Passover meal was about the blood of the Lamb, that Jesus shed his blood and became the Lamb of God. My message this morning is, behold the Lamb. And John saw Jesus coming to him. And he said to the people, behold the Lamb of God that comes to take away the sins of the world. That's what he was referring to. He was referring to the fact that God had established the Passover as a means to point to the fact that he was sending his son to die, shed his blood for all of mankind. And then, of course, his unleavened bread throughout this past week is unleavened bread celebration by the Jews, where they get rid of all the leaven in their homes. They eat nothing but unleavened bread because leaven is tied to sin. And it's a reference to sin. And then the first fruits. And Jesus came back to life on first fruits. The celebration of first fruits. These are three feasts that have been fulfilled. And actually, there was four feasts fulfilled, because in 50 days, we're going to celebrate Pentecost, which is really what we would consider the birth of the church, because that's when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the disciples, and they became so bold that they went out in the streets. Peter, who had denied Christ and said, no, I don't know him. I'm not one of his. He had denied him openly, denied him three times. That same Peter, on the day of Pentecost, when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, went out into the street and preached a powerful sermon, and 3,000 souls were saved. That's the power of God. He wants us to be filled with his Spirit. He wants us to recognize the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon us and give us the power to be witnesses for him wherever we go. Amen. So anyhow, we have these traditions, and we're trying to establish some good traditions. I hope that you have good traditions in your family. Do you have family meals? Everybody coming in on Easter, Resurrection Sunday? Amen. I'll try to refrain from that. It's hard to, isn't it? Because that's what we've always referred to it. Yeah. How about, what else do you do? Anybody else do anything special this time of year?
You did say eat, right?
Eat, yes. Eat, eat. I can't say that enough. Eat, 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 eat. That's a good thing. Good food. I'm sorry, Deb, what was it? Do you? Good. Deb said that she tells the story of Christ to the children. Good. We impact our children with the truth of the Word of God. One little girl was asked what Easter meant to her, and she frowned a little bit and said, egg salad sandwiches for a month. I guess that's probably true in a lot of places. Although most people are using those plastic eggs these days, right? Using plastic eggs and putting candy inside of them. And there's nothing better than candy. I'm a candy freak. By the way, somebody, Pastor Chris, did you send me those peeps? Brittany. Thank you, Brittany. Appreciate that. Those were good peeps. I like peeps. This time of year is good because of candy, and there's nothing gooder than candy. Not good English, but that's all right. Praise God. All right, this morning what we really want to do is just kind of pick up where we left off last week. I really appreciate everyone who put so much into this service. Linda Well and the choir and our worship team, dancers, everything that went on with our early service. Jim Evans brought us a good message and shared and conducted that service for us. I'm excited about the people that God has brought into this congregation. This is not, I got to tell you, this is not about the pastor. That's not what the ministry is about. Ministry is about God's people being used in ministry and ministering to one another. That's why it's so important that the gifts are in operation, because God uses individuals to operate in the gifts. Many times in the past, we have elevated individual pastors or evangelists or whoever and expected them to completely operate in the gifts, and everybody else just are spectators. Well, I'm telling you, the day of the church being a spectator is over. Amen. It's time for the church to rise up and take for their rightful place inside the buildings where we worship and outside in the community where we live. Be the church to the people. Be the salt and light that God called us to be. We're to be something different. We're to establish a different regimen, a different lifestyle. We're to impact people's lives because we're living a different way. We don't live the same way. We're impacting people's lives because we are different on the inside. Not because of religious tradition or religious formality, but because of the Spirit of God that lives inside of us. Spirit, the Holy Spirit lives in me. The Holy Spirit is powerful. The Holy Spirit, do you know how special you are to have the Spirit of God in you? That's powerful. God doesn't just choose anybody to receive His Spirit. Chooses those who will honestly accept what Christ did for them on the cross. And when we have the Spirit of God, we walk with power in our lives. Last week, we talked about the triumphal entry and how Jesus, and I read that scripture to everyone. I don't know if we have that. You can put it up on the screen if we do. But anyhow, last week we were talking about the triumphal entry, and basically that was the preparation. That was the the preparation before Passover. And what was happening during that time when Jesus stepped, when Jesus mounted that donkey and rode in to Jerusalem, he was fulfilling a scripture that was thousands or hundreds of years old. And that he would mount the foal of a donkey and ride in to Jerusalem as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And of course, when he did that, this was during the preparation for the Passover. So thousands of people were there. Jerusalem was a place of about 25,000 people. But when Passover and Pentecost and Sukkot or Booths was celebrated, these three celebrations, all the Jewish men were required to come to Jerusalem. That meant that the city's population swelled to about 150,000 to 200,000 people at that time. It was a crazy place. You can imagine what it'd be. Anybody ever been to Athens during some of their, what do they have, parents weekend? Mom's weekend? Have you go to Athens during those times? It's a crazy, crazy place. People running around all over the place and, just lots of people. And the more people you pour into a city like that, the crazier it becomes. And that's what Jerusalem was like, but they were there to celebrate the feast of the Lord. And as Jesus rode in, people began to cry out, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Now, let me give you just a little bit of background about that. During this time, there was two things that was going on. The men were going to one of the 100 mikveh pools to ceremonially cleanse themselves before Passover. And they were also choosing a lamb without spot or blemish as they were commanded to in Exodus. So as they were choosing these lambs, they went to a special place to choose these lambs. In fact, the prophet Micah proclaimed that this is the same place that the Messiah was going to be born. I believe it's Micah 8, chapter 8. I don't remember the exact chapter. We happen to have that. Micah 8, he talks about the tower of the flock. Okay, well, the tower of the flock. He said that the Messiah would be born at the tower of the flock. The tower of the flock is actually, in Hebrew, Migdal Adar. And this place was a special place because it was a place where special shepherds would watch over special flocks. There was a tower that they were able to sit in or stand in and watch over their flocks. But not only did they have a tower there, they also had a special manger that was anointed, that was ordained by the priests as the shepherds were, to take care of the special lambs that were born for Passover. They had special flocks. And what they would do is that when those lambs were born, they would take them into this special manger area. They would take care of them. And if they were perfect, without spot or blemish, they would make sure that they stayed that way because they had strips of cloth that had already been prepared to wrap their legs with. Anybody remember strips of cloth around Christmas time? Swaddling clothes. Why was Jesus placed in, wrapped in swaddling? The swaddling clothes were available. The strips of cloth were there because he was born at Migdal Adar in this special place that Micah said he would be born in hundreds of years before it happened. The Bible is incredible.
Yes, it is.
The way it foretells things. Our Lord and Savior. Well, anyhow, the high priest would prepare himself, and he would stand on the Temple Mount, and he would cry out that he was going to pick the lamb, the special lamb. And the priests, all the other priests would line up and make a corridor out to the eastern gate. And he would go out. And he would go to this area, Migdal Adar, to choose a lamb without spot or blemish during this time of year, during the time that Jesus rode in on the, it's 4 days before the Passover. As he went out, it would take him some time. It was probably about a 2 mile hike, taking some time to go there. And the tradition was that when he returned, then the priest would begin to shout and proclaim, "Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Well, what happened on that day was Jesus mounted the donkey, and his followers started walking before him, shouting, "Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna in the highest." Now, here's was the tradition. When this happened, all the people had already prepared palm fronds and different clothing and things that they were going to wave to shout and proclaim, "Hosanna in the highest." And when the priests, or when the disciples started doing this, the priests thought, "Hey, we must have missed something." And they started shouting. And as soon as they started shouting, everybody started shouting. And the people all over the Jerusalem started coming out of their houses and in their areas because they had prepared to be involved with this celebration when the priest had brought the lamb back. And now the Lamb of God was riding before them. And they were shouting, "Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And it got out of hand. I want to tell you something. Most of the people didn't know that they were proclaiming Jesus as the Messiah. It got out of hand. I can tell you that that's true because the priest said to Jesus, "Tell them to stop this." And Jesus said, "If they stop, the rocks will cry out." Powerful stuff. Amen. Yep. Jesus was right on time to fulfill the feast and the preparation of the feast. He rode in that day, and what was this was all about was the priest would bring the lamb up to the Temple Mount and begin the inspection process because they had to inspect that lamb to make sure it was without spot or blemish. They were to take that lamb and the priests had to take it and continue to look it over and inspect it. Every male of the household had to choose a lamb, take that lamb back to their home and inspect that lamb for the next 4 days. Care for that baby lamb. It was a year old. Take care of it. Prepare it. Feed it well. Love it. Because what they were about to do to it was cut its throat for their sins. What a tough thing to have to do. Every year they went through that. What God was pointing to was the reality that he was sending his one and only son to die on the cruel cross for our sins. We loved him, but he had to do it. And I want you to understand something. I know that there's been arguments. In fact, a few years ago, I saw on the History Channel where they were arguing who actually killed Jesus. Was it the Jews or was it Pilate? And they were really trying to shift the blame from the Jews to Pilate. And I want to tell you something. They did not really kill Jesus. He gave up his life. They couldn't take his life from him. He gave it away. And he gave it away. And I want to tell you who's guilty. We all are. Every one of us. We're all sinners. And we need to be saved by the grace of God. Everyone. Praise God that we have this. Praise him that he has given us this opportunity to know Jesus as our personal Savior. We can receive him. And now Jesus comes after coming into Jerusalem, and now he's being inspected, and he spends the next 4 days being inspected by the people. He proclaims himself to be the Messiah by saying certain things. He never really came right out and said it, but he said things that indicated that he was the Messiah. The people watched him. He healed. He set people free. He delivered. The people inspected him, and they saw that he was without spot or blemish for the next 4 days. And then he was betrayed by a friend and turned over to the Sanhedrin and the high priest. And he was brought in before the high priest, and he was inspected by the high priest. I want you to understand how important this is, because this ties in to what happened during Passover. They were inspecting their lambs. Jesus was being inspected. He was inspected by the high priest. Then he was sent to Pilate. Not only did the religious people inspect him, but the secular people inspected him. Pilate sent him to Herod. Herod inspected him. They all looked him over. Then he sent him back to Pilate. During this time, during this period of time, the high priest was on the Temple Mount. And he was going to be, this was just before Passover. This was the night before the celebration of Passover. Remember, everyone, if you don't know this, Jewish days are calculated by the moon, not by the sun. It's a sun and moon calendar, not just a sun calendar. That was changed thousands or hundreds of years ago. But anyhow, when the sun went down was the beginning of the Passover. During this day, several things was happening. Jesus went before Pilate. And Pilate inspected him. The high priest was on the Temple Mount. He was inspecting at this very time. He was inspecting the lamb, the sacrifice, the Passover lamb for the last time. He looked that lamb over, and here's what he said. I find no fault. He would cry that out, and everyone that was within hearing would hear it. Jesus stood before Pilate. You know what Pilate said? I find no fault in this man. Fulfilling the Passover tradition that had been established. You see, God's not opposed to tradition. We just need to know what tradition is all about. Amen. Then the people, being spurred by the religious leaders, cried out and said, crucify him. Now listen, these are the same people that 4 days earlier had been saying, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Same people. Now they're saying, crucify him. Crucify him. And Pilate said, what has he done? He's done nothing wrong. And they said, crucify him. Crucify him. So they did. They took him out. They beat him. He took stripes upon his back for your healing. He was ridiculed and beaten in your place. And he hung on the cross and died, shed his blood for all our sins.
Yes, he did.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
As he hung there, more tradition was fulfilled. As he hung there, the high priest was now on the Temple Mount preparing to sacrifice the last lamb, which was the lamb that he chose. All the other lambs had been sacrificed. He was going to sacrifice the last lamb because it was the lamb that was to be sacrificed for the whole nation. As he prepared to do so, he took up a knife and he slit its throat. When he was finished, he ceremonially washed his hands and he cried out, I thirst. When Jesus hung on the cross, because he became our high priest, he cried out, I thirst. He may have been thirsty, But he wasn't crying out, "I thirst," because he was thirsty. He was crying out to fulfill the tradition the Jews had established. Everyone who heard him, everyone who was in ear distance of hearing him, understood that he was saying, "I am the Son of God. I am now the high priest." As he hung there, the next thing that happened, the high priest, as he finished, as he cried out, "I thirst," and they brought him a drink, then he would say, "It is finished." Jesus, as he hung on the cross that day, just before he passed from this life and was buried, taken down from the cross, he cried out, "It is finished." Fulfilling all the law and the prophets. Hallelujah. Glory. What a God we serve. Every detail is in order. I want you to understand something. The feasts have been, all those feasts were fulfilled. There was four of them. Spring feasts. There's three more feasts that need to be fulfilled in the fall. And we're watching closely. If you know anything about prophecy, eschatology as it's referred to, end time prophecy, you need to be watching what's happening. Keep your eye on Israel. Amen. See what's happening in Israel. Because they're God's time clock to all these end times, these last days. But there are things happening all over the world that indicate that Jesus Christ is coming back very, very soon. Anything can happen. Prepare yourself. Prepare your heart. Be ready. Look, even the secular world can tell you that anything can happen right now. They don't know what's going on in this world. It's kind of out of control. Wars and rumors of wars. Pestilence of all kinds are happening. Volcanoes are erupting all over the place. They're even saying that we might see some horrendous volcano activity here in the United States. They don't know. They just see things. The sun is acting weird. There are sunspots and solar flares that I heard Fox News do a commentary on this, and the lady that was talking about it was saying that we're not even being told how fragile our electrical system is. What's it called? Power grid. How fragile our power grid is. That one major solar flare could take out our entire power grid. Could you imagine the chaos that would happen? Listen, this is not unprecedented. It has happened. It happened 150 years ago before there was any electrical issues that we might have. But they're saying if it happened today, it would wipe us out. In the 80s, half of Canada lost power because of a solar flare. You probably haven't even heard about that. They're not telling us these things. Do you realize that the poles, this is scientific fact. Our poles are shifting by 40 mile a year. It's escalated over the last 10 years. 40 mile a year. Now, I don't know what's going to happen. Nobody really knows. The scientists don't know what's going to happen with that. But these are things that Jesus told us to watch for. To read the signs of the times. You know what he said to the hypocrites? He said, listen, the Pharisees, and he called them hypocrites. He said, listen, you hypocrites, you can read the weather, and you can't read the signs of the times. That's right. Tammy was telling me some ridiculous things that people were saying on Facebook. Yeah. Craziness. Listen, read the signs of the times. Am I trying to instill fear? No. I have no fear.
That's right.
Jesus is my Lord. God is in control. But I want to tell you something. If you don't know Him as your personal Savior, there would be reason to fear. This past week, I read a story about a liberal pastor. And when I say liberal, I mean he didn't really believe the Word of God. He didn't think the Word of God was the holy, inspired, inerrant Word of the living God. I want you to know, I do. I believe every word that's written in that Bible. And I believe God inspired it. Even the historical parts, God inspired it to be written the way it's written. There's more to that word than just words on a paper. It's alive. And if you've ever experienced God, when you've read that, when you started reading the Word of God, you know what I'm talking about. It jumps out at you. It touches your heart. It causes you to have a different understanding of the things around you.
That's right.
It becomes the word, this is the word that we use, rhema. It becomes alive. It's no longer just logos written on the word, on paper. It becomes rhema because it becomes life to you. That's what I want to share with you this morning, is that Jesus Christ is life, and life more abundantly, an abundant life. As I said, I read a story about this liberal pastor. And one night, God gave him a dream, and Jesus took him to hell. And he saw this one gentleman that was walking through hell. And as he walked through hell, he would reach down from time to time and pick up people and look at them and say, no, you're not the one. And he went and picked up another one. He said, no, you're not the one. And he just kept doing that over and over and over. And finally, the man turned to Jesus and he said, what is he doing? He said, he's looking for the pastor that lied to him about hell. I'm not going to lie to you about hell. It's a real place. You don't have to go there.
That's right.
You don't have to experience it. You don't have to experience separation from God.
That's right.
Jesus made the way for you. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I ask everyone just to bow your head this morning. Today is a day of decision for some of you. Today, you've heard the gospel message before, but today the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart individually. He's drawing you. He's wooing you. He loves you. He does not want you to perish. He wants you to come into His kingdom and to be a part of the good things that are happening in the earth today as we build and expand the kingdom of God. But it's your decision. You must decide that you want Jesus Christ as your Savior. You must decide that you are a sinner and you need to repent of your sins and believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. That's what the Word says. You must decide. I'm going to ask you this morning, if you've never done that, everybody's got their heads bowed, their eyes closed. If you've not done that, please raise your hand. I want to pray with you. I want you to come into the kingdom of God. I want you to be a part of what God is doing in this earth right now in this place. Hallelujah. Is there anyone? All right, let me shift gears a little bit. Is there anyone that just feels like you want to recommit your life today? Maybe you've just drifted away. You just want a closer walk with the Lord. Is there anybody? Okay, see that hand. See those hands, yes. All right, glory. Praise God, hallelujah. Is there anyone else? All right, yes, hallelujah. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. Good. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm going to pray for you right where you are. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory.
Now, let me tell you something. Whether you come forward or not, you're making a commitment to Almighty God this morning. You've said that you want to change the direction of your life and you want to live to glorify His name. That means there's going to be some life change. That means there's going to be some different things taking place in your heart from this moment on. So I'm going to begin praying right now for each one. If you want to come forward, please do so. If you don't, that's okay too. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name, Father, I thank you for those who raised their hands this morning. They have made a commitment, a holy commitment before you, that they want to change the direction of their life, that they want to grow closer to you, that they want to put down all the things that have come between you and them. They want to stand and believe and trust in your word. Today, Father God, the power of the Holy Spirit is going to enable them to be able to do your work, to do your will, that they are going to stand firm and be strong and be faithful to serve you. They are going to have the ability to overcome the enemy. I rebuke the power of the enemy in Jesus' name. Principalities and powers will not have a stronghold over the lives of these people who raised their hand. Father, they committed to you this morning.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
To serve you. Therefore, your power is being manifest in their life. In Jesus' name, I break the strongholds of addiction. I break the strongholds of anger, frustration. I break the strongholds, Father God, of rebellion in Jesus' name. I break the strongholds of oppression and depression in Jesus' name. That the power of the Holy Spirit is released today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Glory. Praise God. Well, I trust everyone has some place to go this morning.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope this message has touched you in some way. Our purpose and desire for these podcasts is to edify believers and share the good news of salvation in Christ. If you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior today, look up Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It makes it very simple. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you'd like more information on salvation, visit our website at bethelwc.org. We have a section that explains it in more detail. If you confess Christ for the first time today, welcome to the family, and we would love to hear from you. Be blessed.